This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So, you know, I'm going to sit in with Cobra Starship. And they're, you know, it's assumed I'm going to be the front man. And they're like, well, so, you know, like, here's your guitar and stuff. And then I'm like, oh, no, like, I'll just wear the drums. And so, and what I do is
You can move around the stage.
Mm-hmm. So then I have like the big bass kind of hanging around my belly, the toms on my chest, kind of, and the snare I'm kind of holding
like
under
bazooms.
My arm. Yes, yeah, so that was a big part of it. And you do a little dot in the center, and then it really looks like bazooms. And then the cymbals are kind of on my shoulders, and to be like kind of marching around the stage, singing the song. And also playing this whole drum set on my body, and that's rave culture to me.
That's a mind blowing piece of entertainment. Yeah, and do you do the Snakes on the Plane song?
Yeah, I don't know the words really, but
no one knows the words. But it's just if you have the attitude, it's all attitude with them.
And saying, I do know lines from the movie, and so I was able to kind of sing.
Yeah, no snakes out there this big.
Different lines from the movie. Yes, that's a good example. I don't want to do it like that in that kind of voice for the podcast.
Why are you uncomfortable doing it like that?
Oh, it's a black voice, and you know, as a white person, you know, that seems like the kind of thing that some people might get mad about.
I mean, do you think I crossed the line? I mean,
no, I'm not okay mad at all. I just know a lot of other people would find that really offensive
Is it offensive though, if I am friends with somebody who is a brother and they really talk in that way, is it offensive for me to just do an accurate impression? Because if I had a friend from London.
Yes.
And I do.
Or say like...
Nigel.
If you did like an Idris Elba impression, for example, is that what you were getting at?
Well, yeah. Well, what if I did do that? Mm-hmm. What if I came in and doing an impression of Idris? I said something like Bond, James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that now offensive? Because Idris, for all his refinement, is in fact... a cast member on the show The Wire.
Mm-hmm. I just know there are a lot of people.
And The Wire's primarily brothers.
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
So I'm just wondering, and I'm genuinely asking where the line is, because we touched on this a little bit with the Amy and Tina stuff last week with Cosby, and I've come all the way around.
You've changed my mind. I totally agree with you, and I think you should do it again.
Well, if that's true, and you've come all the way around, I'd like to hear you do the voice, and I'd like to hear you say there's snakes out there this big.
I'm defending it's your question. Right. I can't do it I think you should be the one to do it,
because
you already did it once, and now I think you can really lean into it.
It's from Snakes on a Plane, and Ice Cube did something where he said there's snakes out there this big about one of the snakes he found on the plane that was huge, and I would like to hear you say it, and that would really make me
feel
comfortable.
I think it would be fun, actually, to give Sam a chance to do it.
Because otherwise, I'm uncomfortable.
Don't you think Sam would enjoy that opportunity?
If Sam can do it.
Can you just get on the microphone real quick and say there's snakes out there this big? In a way that you would imagine Ice Cube would in the movie Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, okay. There's snakes out there, and they're big.
Doesn't sound like anything like a brother at all.
He doesn't even know the line. Show him how it's done, Hayes.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, and Insider's Guide to Kicking Butt and Dropping Names in the Red Carpet Lineback Hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Thank you for listening to us. Now that you heard us on with special guest Lauren Lapkus this past week, with this extra attention from that show comes listeners who don't necessarily understand that we're trying to do.
There's a negative side to getting new ears on you, and it is that you get some uneducated people,
yes,
who haven't had the same opportunities to learn that a lot of us have and don't understand what they're hearing. And people get so angry when they're confused. If you can picture a caveman when they first saw the Indians' ships coming over and they didn't know what it was, and so they started throwing torches at the ships. And, you know, if you remember that old story from history.
They tried to eat them.
Well, they tried to eat them, and they succeeded in many cases.
We want to do a segment based on all the negative feedback we've been getting from this week in a segment called Ain't Wrong. Would be great to have a theme song for this one. We have this fan base that claims to be very dedicated, but
and they seem to like this segment too. Yeah. And you'd think if they want to hear it again, they would make it easier for us to introduce it by putting a song. And I don't want to write the song for you. That's not what I do. I understand the circle of fifths very well, and it's pretty simple actually. C scale, and then you're going to go up 1/5 to G, and that means you're going to add a sharp. And it's,
but so as it is, forth. What we have is just our own voices saying this segment is called Ain't Wrong. Let's read a comment from iTunes first. The subject line of the comment is a shame. It is a 1-star review from user J Carpe DM. And J Carpe DM says, I get the kind of humor they're going for. It's just weak. Sean and Hayes are funny and great. I guess I just want the reality show back. I guess you could call this an Ain't Wrong sandwich.
Ain't Wrong, yes. It's because, yes, because
two pieces of Ain't Wrong with an okay, good job in the middle.
Yes, two Ain't Wrongs, yes, with an accurate piece of information in the center. And I will say this, if Sean and Hayes are funny and great, and if
yes,
you, that's
very very
say,
high praise, and we
say,
appreciate it.
And maybe
thank
the
you.
Only thing you should say, but if we're funny and great, and if, in fact, you get the kind of humor we're going for, isn't that at least a 2-star review? I mean, 1-star? Doesn't it seem like you could? Now, look, we've said many times, we only want 5-star reviews, and those are the only ones we deserve. And that's what everyone should be doing, or they should be just going and working at the tire factory or whatever it is of those friggin' cretins do.
I mean, how is that the worst rating you can give?
Just that you can perceive what we're aiming at, even if we miss by a lot.
Sure. And weak, I mean, weak is, you know, it's not good. But it's not bad either. It's
not
just
terrible.
It's just not very good.
It's not
good.
The worst thing you can do. Weak is just like...
That's 2 stars. Weak is 2 stars. Bad is 1 star.
A weak cup of coffee is a 2-star cup
it's
of coffee.
It's still a cup of coffee.
An empty cup, that's 1 star
it's not
because
a,
you can't drink it.
It's not a cup of thumbtacks is 1 star.
Okay.
It hurts you. But
yeah.
Just a cup of coffee that's not very good is 2 stars. It's still coffee. You get it. I drink the coffee. I get what it's trying to do.
Honestly, weak cup of coffee should be 3 stars because... A cup of water should be 2 stars.
Yes.
1 star should be a cup of thumbtacks,
thumb
like you
tacks.
Said.
Yes, I don't get what a cup of thumbtacks is trying
and
to
honestly,
do.
Honestly, a cup of bugs might be 3 stars. Because it's scary to eat it, but you can eat it. So at that point, we're 4 stars just for making a weak cup of coffee, which, by the way, we didn't. It's actually very strong.
So that was Ain't Wrong, except for the part... Where you do confess that we are funny and great.
Oh, and you don't.
You actually do like us a lot.
And you don't miss the reality show.
We should get to the first in a series of comments from forum user Delino DeShields. Delino DeShields posts on the Betsy Sidero episode, I don't get this show or this corner of the forum. You fuckers are weird. Satire is lazy. Just wanted to say I love Betsy Sidero. So... That comment happens to be Ain't Wrong. So say, like, I don't get this show. I don't understand it. But here's, like, how I feel about it.
It's okay to say.
It's okay to say you don't get it.
I don't get this.
Yes. But then don't go on to say.
I would say, like, if you don't get it, go, I don't get this show. Can someone please tell me how funny, smart, and good it is? And why these guys are so cool and how they got so cool?
Yes.
And why they're so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But that is cool. If you don't understand, like, it's just like, doesn't make sense to you. Like, two smart, cool, funny guys being nice and they're making the show? Like, that is confusing to people, I think.
But what you've chosen to do instead is say, I don't get this. It confuses me.
Mm.
I listen to it and it's going over my head. Here are my thoughts on this thing that to me is very advanced math that I'm not equipped to do.
Yes,
but like, here's me trying to do it. People don't want you to try to do it. Like, other people will help you with this.
Imagine I saw Il Postino and my review was I don't speak Italian. But here's what I think about the quality of the dialogue. Isn't that a good example I just came up with? And isn't that the kind of example that a smart, funny, cool guy who's nice would say? And so just in the fact that I made that example, haven't we kind of proven this man's comment in the forums to be wrong?
Moving on to another comment from Delana DeShields, posted...
Busy boy.
Posted a little later the same day on an earlier episode thread to comment on our Paul F. Tompkins episode. This user writes, PFT knows what's up. This was all fun and fine, but every episode he's done Stop Podcasting Yourself was funnier, better ever. I get the joke, guys, but it's not enjoyable, actual free conversation. Satire is lazy and or for 15-year-olds. So... the thing about this comment is that it is wrong. First of all, you don't get the you say that you get the joke, but you already admitted that you don't you don't know what the show is.
Yes, it's essentially to you this show is Il Postino to someone who does not speak Italian. So like you can't say I get it. I mean, I could watch that movie and go, I get it, a postman. You know,
the idea of watching.
So it's
it.
Like I know it's you know that we're doing a joke. So then you say I get the joke. You don't get the joke.
To watch Il Postino without speaking Italian, the postman shows up at the house and then they start talking and then they kiss. You know, if I didn't speak Italian, I would say that's weird. The postman.
Yeah, I don't kiss my postman. I get mail from him.
And the woman receiving the mail should not be kissing. But then, if you speak Italian, you would know what they're saying. Which is like, what, you know, what are some
of
the
things?
Yeah, do
you want a big kiss? And she says,
here's the mail. How about a kiss instead?
Yeah, can we have that? And now all of a sudden they've walked you all the way to it. Mm-hmm. And so this man who doesn't speak our language is saying he gets the joke and he clearly don't know what's good. And Stop Podcasting Yourself. What is that?
Let's talk about satire, which I define as any honest conversation. It's an honor, frankly, to be compared to some of the satirical greats in the history of literature, like, for example, George Orwell. He is actually a real role model for us.
If you've actually read Orwell, and we have, his satire is so great and so rando. Talking pigs. He's doing talking pigs before Skittles, before anybody. And that is so rando, and that it's in a book, which usually books are dusty and boring and there's, you know, musketeers or something in there. But this guy's got pigs. And so to me, that is so good that the fact that he put us in the same category as Orwell with his comment. Thank you for doing that. But, wrong, you thought you weren't being nice.
And the effect of a book like 1984, when that scene when they're all in the factory, just like marching along in lockstep and everything's the same. And then when the hero comes in with the javelin and reaches back and throws the javelin into the face of the overlord.
Computer.
Destroys the overlord computer. Mm. And then everyone starts thinking different afterwards.
Yeah, they think different. They all is there different
a,
colors.
Is there a better expression of what we're trying to do on the show than
yes.
that? I'm not sure that there is.
No, everyone is marching in lockstep and they're all the little musketeers out there and we're able to actually break that down.
And so to call a satire, I will say you actually are very right. And so,
side note, a lot of people don't know that The Three Musketeers was actually written by a brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's another British guy. That's another Idris type.
That's right. And so is it can, to what you were saying
I do
before.
An impression of him going, saying like, I think I'll have D'Artagnan in this scene. Like, is that racist?
It is a good question because you hear people reading that book all the time, but not as he
people
would do it.
Being that book. I mean, they made a movie out of it.
Mm-hmm. Without any brothers, which is not the intention of the writer. I mean, if he is a brother, clearly he's expecting all these characters to be brothers as well. We have another comment from Delano DeShields to discuss.
A lot of people think that he's a French guy, but I think I'm right that I say he's a British guy. But even if he is a French guy, you know, is it okay for me to go like, ooh, du, trois, you know, like, is that okay? Trois mousquetaires.
Delano DeShields also did a post in the thread for Lauren Lapkus's show. He writes, great showcase for how Lapkus is playful and inventive and why she's so good on CBB, while Sean and Hayes just stick to their one-note shtick like they're scared or nervous somehow. They're satire if you like satire, but zero versatility and a joke that died a long time ago. I really don't get why anyone likes them.
Ain't wrong. But I would like to comment on one part of this, because this idea of us being scared has been brought up before. And I would just like to say, okay, you've tapped into something. One thing is, it's scary to be so truthful and to speak against power in the way that we do. A second thing is, Hayes is often smiling at me when he talks. And if you've ever seen somebody smile, the teeth is part of the skeleton of your body that you can see. So in a way, someone smiling is Hayes' skeleton trying to get out and get at me.
Delano, I hope you're listening. I'm doing it right now. I got a big smile on my face right now while I'm talking to you. Do I sound scared, buddy? Do
I
sound like I'm
scared
of anything?
I get scared a little bit because it is hard for me not to think of seeing someone's teeth as seeing their skeleton trying to escape and get at me, because it is the skeleton peeking out of the body through the gums to say, what do I see out here?
But if I were scared, they'd be chattering. Wouldn't they, Delano? Do you hear him chattering, Delano?
No, he's not scared. And it's also
it's pretty quiet in here. I don't hear anything like that. And I certainly don't hear my knees knocking as well.
His knees are knocking. His teeth aren't chattering. And I wear a mouth guard during the podcast. Out of respect for Hayes, I don't want to frighten him. One of us has to be able to keep his cool. And please, I urge you not to do what I've done and start thinking about smiling and teeth as the skeleton creature that lives inside your friend's body trying to get at you somehow and crawling out through the gums. Mm-hmm.
You'll start doing what Sean does, which is covering his mouth when he smiles, which is off-putting for people who are trying to have a conversation with him when he's...
Or I pretend to be eating. I pretend to be eating and I go, oh, that's interesting. And I shove a hamburger sandwich all the way into the mouth so that it's all covering up every piece inside.
So that was Aunt Wrong. We had some other... We got some mail last week.
We did.
We asked for mail. We have a couple of notes on the mail.
Yeah, a great first effort in that you did do something.
We got a letter from a listener named Nicole. I do suggest that you, as a male listener, give yourself a female name to, you know, help us get the word out there that we do have some female listeners. So that was a positive thing to do. It is sent on... A postcard.
It's Breaking Bad News of Baby Animals.
Jean
Ralphio's
written
postcard
by
line.
Jean Ralphio, played by Ben Schwartz. We already have these. We have bought these. Like, the idea that we wouldn't have bought the funniest postcards that exist on the market today.
That I don't own not only Breaking Bad News of Baby Animals, but also Asking Awkward Questions of Baby Animals. Mm-hmm. Why is Daddy in a dress and it's a little duckling? Something like that.
You could interpret
that,
it as a little insulting.
It is.
That this
insulting.
Is like a new thing that you're showing
it
us. People
insulting.
Who are in comedy and we know what the funniest postcards are.
Yes.
I almost want to send this back to you, but I'll give it to Sam, I guess. You don't know these, right?
No.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of person that you send bring bad news to
people. Yeah, give it to a Sam type.
Someone who doesn't know what good stuff is. Here is a letter from Anastasia Vigo. It says, hello, Sean and Hayes. Hi, engineers.
Don't need that part.
It talks about, it says, here I am sending you a letter, which you don't have to say. It's we are reading the letter.
Yeah, well, just to speak on what we've already heard, there's just a lot of wasted space where it could be,
and at the end,
I guess, compliments.
And at the end it says, I hope you never retire, which it's like, well, what if we get old and too sick to do the job and you want us to keep doing it? I mean, I think we should have the right at some point to retire.
Do you want me to need to keep doing it?
If we want to, yeah. And then it says, P.S. Greggy has never received the pro version. He hasn't paid for the pro version.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand.
He never bought the pro version. You don't receive the pro version unless you buy it.
And we actually got a letter from Greggy as well. Dear Hayes and Sean, he says he likes the show. He drew us a picture with suggestions from his son, it says. And it's a crayon drawing of the two of us. What is this called with the parachutes and the speedboat?
Oh, yes.
What is that? Shoot.
It's shoot, slide, and shoot, sliding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shoot. And sliding. There's a shark and a submarine, and Greggy's driving the boat. Don't send us crayon drawings if you are an adult.
From an adult, yes. It can be drawn. If you have kids, the kid draw it in a crayon, okay.
If your son is...
You get a pass.
Don't tell us, especially, that your son is present watching you do a crayon drawing.
Operate the crayons on his behalf.
To send to some fellow adults.
Yes.
Give the crayons to your children.
You can draw with charcoal pencils, or a kid can draw with a crayon. But if you're an adult, you can't have the crayons. That's for the kid.
Because I can't put this on my fridge now. And have
an adult man,
Leona Lewis or somebody come over to my house and say, oh, what is that from? And I say, like, oh, this is somebody's father drew this for me.
Mm. In front of their kid. Like Leona would, there'd be a Leona Lewis shaped hole in your door because she would absolutely just disappear.
What you would hear is a Doppler shriek, which I don't want her to do. She's my friend. So that was... Eel Postino.
Oh, Eel
Postino. That was Eel Postino. We have a really great guest today. Seth Morris is here. We have a special announcement that is coming up regarding Seth and some of our other projects in the podcasting area.
And we hope our announcement... really freaks your bean.
On Hollywood Handbook.
So now it's really getting tense.
Yeah.
And at this point, they're in each other's face, and Kat Von D.
Yeah, yeah.
Slaps.
Oh my God.
Kat Williams. Mm-hmm. And I, by the grace of God, have the presence of mind to go. It totally diffuses it.
Wow.
They both love me. We go out and
everyone
just
picked up
the
on
town.
That just in the
they got it. Okay. I mean, that was the thing is like they also are pretty sharp. The both of them are very sharp.
Yeah.
In their own way.
Because if you hadn't done something.
Oh, I don't know where it would have gone.
Yeah.
To the hospital.
Hey,
doctors.
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up, what up? And unapologetically, what up, what up? And that's just what I'm going to say.
Very exciting announcement today, really. We have been in discussion with Scott Ankerman for a while about setting up our own production shingle.
And some new guy. It's Scott and it's a new guy.
There is another guy. Yeah. There was Jeff.
Jeff, and then he...
And we used to say... We used to, talk to people about doing something about Jeff, and I guess they did. But the fact is, there's Scott and this other guy, and We have this one podcast, but we've been looking for opportunities to set up a production facility and have sort of a stable of other podcasts.
We have more ideas for shows than we are able to host. Mm-hmm. So they've hooked us up with some very exciting talent in the studio today who has recorded his first pilot for our first new show coming out of our shingle, which of course is called Haze.
It's called Calvin and Hobbes Productions because we both are big Calvin and Hobbes fans.
Well, they're not just funny, but they are funny. They're not just funny, but there's a lot of philosophy
in them.
We want
something that captures that same childlike wonder, but also like kind of a sophisticated edge, because those comics were actually, if you go back and read them, those comics were actually really smart.
There was a lot of commentary on life, society, America. And there was some pretty funny stuff in there, too.
And so, you know, Paul Scheer got Wolf Pop. Now we have, we should name our, what our actual network would be. That's our production shingle, but like, we need a name for the network.
Wolf
well.
Cool.
So this will be part of the Wolf Cool Network. And Seth Morris is here to debut his new podcast.
This is so exciting, you guys.
We're so happy with what you've done.
And thank you for the opportunity right off the bat. You know, it's not easy to get a podcast off the ground these days.
Oh, believe me, we know. And that's part of why we're so excited about this is we see all this talent out there and we go, these guys have nowhere to put their voice.
And the thing is, as people out there listening, they might not know, it's like, it's, you know, you need a structure, you need an infrastructure to put on a podcast. Like, yeah, I've got ideas, but I don't know how to get it from my head out into the world, you know, and you guys have, you know, paid your dues here at Earwolf. So you, from that, you got Calvin and Hobbes Productions and then Wolf Cool, which I do have to say, it's a little confusing because when I try to get valeted, there's like, I guess like three different things I have to go through. That's neither here nor there. But the point is, I'm excited to be here. So I get to get work with you guys because you've done the work. You've put the blood, sweat, and tears into this. And then they reward you with your own sort of engineers and everything. And that's really exciting. That's a really cool opportunity for me.
Yeah, because you could just do, you know, a podcast into your phone or whatever and just like do it on a voice memo or something.
You can do it on a voice memo and you can send it. You can only do like 20 people at a time, though.
Right.
Because I have an iPhone, too. So I don't have like the capability to.
Just your contacts list.
Yeah.
And even then, only some.
Well, and it has to be all one unbroken take.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But what they have with these engineers and stuff is the ability to stop and start and all these great things and sounds.
Yeah.
And when the engineers are actually paying attention and not just drinking pizza sauce, if everyone could...
Right.
If everyone could look at Sam's drink, and if Sam could take a picture of his drink, he's halfway through a friggin' jar of pizza sauce in his glass.
That looks like a food stamp Bloody Mary right there. It's like pizza sauce and mouthwash or
Sam,
something.
Sam, he asked you to take a picture of your drink. very slow to the camera today.
Before we get into, I mean, this podcast stuff is great, but just look, you're in Hollywood. It's Hollywood Handbook. What advice do you have to young guys who want to put themselves in the position to get tapped by a Wolf Cool?
Yeah, and it goes without saying that none of this stuff just happens. You know what I mean? Like, I don't just get a show on the shingle of one of the shingles that's related to a major, you know, mid-tier podcast network. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens because I work, I'm here, I'm doing it. And more than anything else, I think that your show, this show, it just saves people time. Like, if you listen, we want to tell you guys out there, we want to tell you, don't make the mistakes that we made. Just get out there. We learned about this. And so, first thing, come to Hollywood. And what you have to keep in mind is that once you get here, you got to be here, okay? That means your audition starts when you get off the plane. The first step you take out into actual Hollywood air, you're auditioning. You are trying to get noticed. You're trying to make an appearance. You're trying to make connections, okay? Second thing, when you land, get a podcast. Podcasts are the new headshot. They're the new IMDb. You have to have a podcast. So even if that means you just do it on your phone, you do it on your phone, dude.
The information kiosk at the airport, I think a lot of times will help you out with that at LAX.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Use them.
There's a Backstage West kiosk at the Burbank airport. Go check that out, because that's going to be a great resource, you know?
I would say when you're even on the plane, if you can get up into the cockpit area, the pilot has a little thingy that he's talking to that everyone can hear.
How funny is it when you go flying Southwest and they're funny? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You remember, oh, that was a great experience.
Yes.
I encourage people to elbow their way up to that microphone. Crack some fucking zingers.
Because that is a podcast. People don't realize this. That's a kind of podcast.
Well, the plane is a pod. Everyone's hearing you. Mm-hmm. And you're casting over those speakers.
If it's funny.
I'm of the belief that if you can hear it, it's a podcast.
Mm-hmm. If the first thing you say is funny when you get on that mic and have something good, they don't care how you got up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether you elbowed through, whether you shoved a stewardess, or whether you had a box cutter in your hand, nobody cares.
And by the way, you know, I'm not saying everybody who comes here is a comedian. You might be a dramatic actor. And if that's your thing, say something intense.
Yeah, once you get on that microphone. It just has to be on, whether it's funny or serious.
Do a monologue about your kid that's dying with cancer or something like that.
Do some Blacklist scenes. Do Blacklist.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, if you can do Blacklist, you can do anything.
I was doing Blacklist before a lot of people. What I would do is every time I entered a building, I would just get on my knees and put my hands behind my head.
Yes, I remember seeing that. I remember that was the first time I saw you.
But I had this look on my face like, you're not catching me. I'm giving myself to you.
But you turned to me and I said, who is this guy? And you said, if you recall, I'm a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
and it's like the opposite of what a criminal should be doing.
I will say it took me a while to find the right size hat, because in the beginning I had a tiny fedora and it took away from the whole, you know.
That made it seem comedic.
But now I have it's just right.
You would put your hands on your head to kind of hold the tiny hat, but it would cover the hat.
Yeah, and then I got a chin strap to keep it, but that made it worse. So then I just eventually, and actually it's the same hat I just built out on the brim.
You could do that.
Yeah, they can do that now. It's just you add felt to the brim. Mm-hmm. And so it is just a little bump on top of your head and then a big wide. Yeah. Circle.
But you know, the point is that got me noticed. That started to get me out there. So that's something you got to do. Of course, you got to get headshots. Get color headshots. Don't, you know, and I don't care about this digital bullshit that people are talking about. The business is not done online. It's done with hard paper, okay? Get a headshot. Guys, lose your shirt.
Yeah.
Let's show some skin. Let's see some stuff. Everybody, guys or girls, get a fucking brick wall behind you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going through headshots, I don't want to see the same old shit. I want to see a brick wall with some natural light, and I want to see something popping in the eyes.
Yes. Right? Thank you so much about the digital thing too, because those are not shiny.
Not at all.
You look at the digital ones.
Not at all. You got to do the legwork. You got to drop your headshot off at all these different places. And you know what? Walk. Don't drive around. Let them see that you mean this. You're putting some sweat into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. When people say how long it take you to get here or whatever, they want to hear a big number.
Absolutely.
No folder, by the way. Don't carry them in a folder or something. They should be loose.
No, you're holding it out.
Sorry, but just
to stay on the digital thing for a moment, I know these young kids are coming out here and they're on their Surface and whatever else, and that's fine, but the people who make the decisions in this business, the people who really need to decide, is this headshot good enough to give them a Wolf Cool podcast or some equivalent opportunity, those people are not on the internet.
No those people are at Canner's Deli with a 3-foot stack of headshots that they're going through every day.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum.
They're too busy.
And you know, this is another thing. A lot of people don't know this. Everybody has headshots. Get them out there in an interesting way. You know, send a singing telegram to this casting director. Any way that you can put them on the spot. I know that you're casting on the road right now. Do you have a Dean Moriarty? Because I'm your guy. Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
And you must decide now.
Yeah.
And if you decide to use me, here are my demands.
Yeah.
And don't say the character's name right, because you don't want to
Dean
like
Moriarty.
Say Moriarty like you like don't really care that much.
Say Dean Mordecai. Just because
Dean Mordecai, yes.
Yeah. then you're tying in, then you're like, it's a little wink. Like, I know that that's a movie that's going over.
And then they might give you Mordecai if, you know.
That's right.
Say a bunch of characters' names kind of in one, so they might
you don't limit yourself that way. If you just
because
name
I don't
character.
Do just one thing. I'm an actor. I become different things. Mm-hmm. So, like, why would I just say...
Yeah, the or part is I can act or I can do whatever else you need.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's another thing. Learn all the different aspects of the business. Mm-hmm. I encourage people, if you really want to impress somebody on set, know how to tie a cable. Even if you have nothing to do with electric, because everybody sees that and goes, oh, that's cool. That's pretty. I bet you maybe 2 out of 100 people know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that is for sure going to get yourself noticed.
Yeah. If you're on set as an extra or something, you can bump somebody out of the way and start moving equipment around. Mm-hmm. That is how you really make headway.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you got your foot in the door. You might as well get your whole body in there. Now, once you're in town, once you've sort of established some of these things, let's say you're starting to get some work. God willing, you start getting some work. What you want to do is make demands. You want them to know, hey, I'm fucking here now. So no matter how small your part is, it's like going to prison where you smash the biggest guy on the first day to show like I'm not somebody to be fucked with. Let's say you get a job as an extra or a stand-in or whatever. Make a scene. You want to get that second AD to know who you are and that you mean business.
Mm-hmm.
So make demands. My trailer's too small. You expect me to eat this food? Hey, I busted my ass to get here, you know? I don't go to where you work and slap the dick out of your mouth. You got to get these things out.
Nice.
There so people
it's that
know.
They suck dick for their job.
Right.
That's good. Can I use that?
If you could hold off.
Oh,
I want
right.
to try it out
kind of
your.
I'm, okay. Okay. Fair
that's
enough.
That's fair.
But I like to say, if you want a deal, you hear about people signing these big deals. If you want a deal, make them deal with you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You make them deal with you.
Yep.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah, that's where it comes from, is just you're such a problem, and you're doing that. I won't do it, but you're making them saying they suck dick for their job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that funny, though?
Oh, gosh. I can't. If somebody says that to me, I'm like, no, but it's like,
when I used to do that joke, I've been workshopping that for like 7 months, and I used to go, I don't go to your work and slap you in the face.
Okay,
but it
well,
did, you know, because that doesn't tell a story.
It's a good starting point for something.
It is. It is.
No, it is in the neighborhood of something good, and I think you got all the way there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, can we talk? Sorry, can I just back up a little bit and talk a little bit more about headshots?
Oh gosh, yeah, I had something about them too.
Oh, good. I hope it's not this. Well, it could be the same.
Well, thing. I'll go. You go, and then I'll tell you if it's the same.
I want to talk about fonts.
Okay, it wasn't this, but thank God you said something.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at. We're in 2015. You gotta, Helvetica that's a ghost, okay? You might as well be writing in lemon juice and invisible ink. Nobody notices that. You need to get, how about some Albertus Extra Bold? How about some Arial Black, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about Cezanne? That's a fun font.
Here's a great way to remember, here's a great way to remember what you should be thinking about. Font is only really one different vowel and the omission of a T away from fun.
Mm-hmm.
So if your font's not fun, then it's really not a font or close to it.
I have the same thing, but with fonts.
Okay, yes.
You know,
yes.
A lot of people don't know that reference, but you should Google it.
Even without fonts, you can, if you write your name with an asterisk in between every letter and it's all in caps, like MASH, that was a really big show.
That was a huge show.
And then people will associate you with a show that it's like your name is now
Yeah,
a
they're
TV
like,
show.
I grew up with this person.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of my other favorites, and you guys know this, Pickwick Monotype. That is a home run font.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say this about fonts. If people are talking about fonts, one thing that's always funny, you say Wingdings first.
Uh-huh.
If you bring up Wingdings before they bring up Wingdings, then you're wearing the comedy pants.
Almost an oversight. I don't want to criticize you, but in this case, to not mention Wingdings.
Yes, because it's so funny because you can't read it. And so to say that something's written in Wingdings, like so, let's say you hand somebody your resume and you go, it's in Wingdings.
Right.
That is killer.
I want to just thank you for calling me out on that, because this is another thing.
I know I can do.
You
got to
always be learning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're always learning, okay? You have made yourself my enemy by doing that, but that just fuels me
well,
even
Well, I
more.
Learned something too.
Yeah.
In this case.
Yeah. So let's say you're in town, you got your headshots, you're starting to get some work. Take classes.
Yeah.
Get out there. Take classes. And I'm of the belief it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an acting class or not, because everybody in Los Angeles is in the entertainment business. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. 100% of the people that live here work in this business. So even if you're taking a real estate class or a typing class or whatever, cooking class, everybody in there is in the business. They might be able to help you one day.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And be being funny at that real estate class.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know what? People are going to tell you, go take a UCB class. Don't take a UCB class.
No.
You're not going to be that good. It's hard to get classes. What you want to do is find somebody somewhere small and be a big fish in a small pond.
Yes.
If I could play devil's advocate, one thing you can do is take one UCB class. Mm-hmm. And then when people ask you what you're up to, you go, well, I do UCB. I perform at UCB.
I'm in the UCB.
Yeah, I'm in the UCB. And that's, same with Groundlings. Take one Groundlings class, sign up for it, and then withdraw, and then go like, no, I'm in the Groundlings.
Absolutely.
So you're in the brigade is actually how they say it. Like, I'm a brigadier.
Mm-hmm.
Is what those guys tend to say.
I do that too, and I'll wear like epaulets and like a Prussian like general's hat.
And so if you just say like I'm a UCB guy, they'll be like, oh, are you really?
Yeah.
But if you say like I'm a brigadier.
Speaking of epaulets and a Prussian general's hat, when you're getting headshots, wouldn't you say look at the movie posters and see what's coming out? So if there's a robot movie, get a robot headshot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If when Brokeback Mountain came out, if you didn't have a headshot with a cowboy hat,
yes.
Well, good luck getting looked at.
Yeah.
If you're a girl, like the Fault in Our Stars thing, the two little tubes going up your nose, you got to have those in your headshot.
Absolutely, because you convey not only that you know which movies are out, but a vulnerability. You're talking about, hey, like my comedy or whatever it is, it's grounded in the real world. And in the real world, beautiful girls die every day.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And guys talk like weird, huh? Like, that guy really talks strange in that. He's talking like he's in Shakespeare, but everyone else is in a normal world.
Well, hey.
He was sick. Wait, I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, he was sick.
It was because he had a brain disease.
Well, is this before this measles stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But, you know, speaking of that, I'm a big fan of the composite headshot. You know, you get a bunch of different costumes. You have six little small panels on one 8x11, 8.5x11 photo. Mm-hmm. So then people get to see, hey, you know what? This guy's a cowboy. This guy can be a tennis player. This guy can be a nurse. This guy can be a cop.
Yeah. I was going to say cop. Right? Yeah. And it tells a story.
Yeah. If you can afford it, as soon as you land in LA, get a doctor's outfit, a cop's outfit.
Sea captain's hat. Yeah.
Yep. And a race car driver outfit. Because those...
Middle of the country.
Those are going to be your first couple jobs. Yeah, flyover states are filled with doctors, cops, race car drivers, and sea captains.
They get sick a lot.
Mm-hmm. Who can't relate to that?
Mm-hmm.
Who can't relate to that? So those are just a couple of the things, you know.
Well, boy, that's helpful. And so if you do all those steps, you might find yourself sitting in the very same seat as Mr. Seth Morris. He's got his new Wolf Cool podcast coming out of Calvin and Hobbes Productions, which is an offshoot of Wolf Pop, which comes from the Earwolf parent tree.
Actually, while we're on that, can you guys stamp, like, can I get, like, I need four validations. I got four different parking ticket or validations for these.
You're going to need the other ones first. Did they explain that to you?
You guys don't have
We can't stamp it first. Ours.
Oh, you have to.
It can't be covered up by the Earwolf.
It's time.
Earwolf is the biggest one. And then it's like it's nesting stamps.
You guys do that time released ink thing.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Unfortunately, we'd love to do it. And so we've asked them, but.
Because that's the weekend, I'll have to come back on Monday and get the Earwolf stamp, right?
Yes.
I don't think Wolf Pop is here till Wednesday. So I'll get that.
They're in,
And then I can get the Calvin and Hobbes.
Wednesday.
Maybe next week. I'll just leave my car here.
Yeah, I think that's probably best. And then you will have to pay, I guess, but then just check in with your bank to make sure that it's processed, that it comes back once you do get the validation.
And what is that, like 4 to 6 weeks or something?
It depends on your bank. I don't know what's going on with your finances.
Are you paying from you or are you going through your loan out?
I'm going through my loan out.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the name of your loan out?
It's called What's Up With That?
Oh,
like the SNL sketch?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you said, is that just a coincidence that it's that? Or?
No, it is that. You know what?
Can't use What Up With That, I guess, because that is the SNL sketch, but that is probably the closest thing you could do.
I don't want to, I mean, I do love that I love that sketch, and to me it's like a sign of like commitment, because part of the joke of that is like it just keeps going and going, and that's me in this business, in this town. Mm-hmm. But actually I had a harsh experience when I was getting incorporated. Somebody, the guy or notary public or whoever he was, he went crazy. He spit in my eyeball.
And I was like, what up with that? Oh, okay. So it was an accident that was just written down.
That was an accident. He spit in my face on purpose.
Oh, okay.
He was like
dude, what's up with that? And then he writes that down, and now that's your company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway. But yeah, I'll leave my car here. We took a huge tangent, but if as long as I get validated, because it all, you know, the tax money, baby.
Oh, believe me, yes. Uncle Sam's got his
tentacles
dick 3/4 of the way up. Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, his dick tentacles.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
Anyway, but I'm so psyched about this podcast. And, you know, I'm sure people.
Yeah, we just wanted to play some clips.
Yeah,
Just this is a little bit of a sneak preview. And This American Life has done this a couple times lately, where they sort of launched Serial and Startup mm-hmm. through just playing these clips from the first episode, and that took off. So we're going to use our huge show mm-hmm. To launch this one. And Hayes, do you want to talk a little bit about the concept behind the show? I mean, this came to you.
Yeah, we looked at, I looked at the top 200 comedy podcasts, informational podcasts, just seeing what was out there, what wasn't out there.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when Gordon Ramsay on Kitchen Nightmares walks around all the restaurants and says, mm-hmm. well, there's a hot dog place. Well, mm-hmm. there's a hamburger place. Well, but there's no onion rings here. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, you're an onion ring place now.
Yes. And what I didn't see, there's no podcast about Thanksgiving. And you think about it, Thanksgiving, holiday, everybody has.
Which still, how can that be true? I'm still tripped out by that.
There's no Thanksgiving podcast
about Thanksgiving?
That's what I was saying. And I checked over and over and over again. I never even saw one once. I listened to all of them.
Did
to
you
make sure that
try different search engines? A couple of different search engines? Because sometimes that makes a difference.
I tried different browsers.
And just to quickly, the wingdings of search engines is, of course, Ask Jeeves, and you do want to get there first if people start naming search engines. I know mm-hmm. we didn't go down that road, but if you can do that first, then you win.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, these little zingers are, these are extra feet and extra doors. We're giving you guys a shortcut to how to get successful in this business.
So the Thanksgiving show, we thought, you know, Talking Turkey is a funny name. That's not taken by anything.
and it got me.
And mm-hmm. just to talk about the experience of having Thanksgiving and to be funny, yep. also tell a story about family.
Yeah.
And maybe sometime Thanksgiving can be sad.
Sure.
Somebody make an announcement that is scary or maybe your family doesn't get along at the beginning, but they do at the end.
So
maybe.
Tense. It's such
politics,
a volatile.
Politics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the food.
Yeah.
And the dog could steal a turkey.
Yeah.
And so wherever it goes, we don't, like, as long as it does pertain to Thanksgiving, we don't want to limit the conversation with our future guests. But, I mean, it's your show now. You gave it to me.
You told me explicitly that I had to do a show about this, but it is my show, and I'm trying to, you know, I think
As long as it's Thanksgiving, it's whatever you
And do you
want.
Feel silly now? Because you had some other shows that you wanted to do.
Well, I wanted to do a show called Actor Parking, and it's, you know, just because it's one of the most practical things in this business. You're always in your car. You're always having to park. And parking is always a pain in the butt. So I just thought we could, again, help people cut some of the BS out of their lives when they're first landing in LA to try to make it here, and give them some insider tips about, you know, where do you park. But you guys convinced
me. I think you
me.
Agree now that we should be doing. That's more for us, for Sean and I to do.
That's correct.
It is a good idea, but doesn't it make sense for us to do that?
I did. I got all your emails and your calls. I'm convinced. Again, I don't know how to tell you this more clearly. I am convinced. You don't need to keep, you know, reminding me of that, but yes.
And that's like a fair trade.
And we don't want to keep going into it, but from the guy who didn't know that he had to get the other three validation stamps first mm-hmm. before he got ours, it's like, now you're hosting the actor parking. Like, doesn't really make sense.
Fair point.
And so now it's like, we have our great idea and we make you do that, and you have your good idea and we make you give it to us.
Yes.
And so it's like, you see, it's just it's a trade.
So to set up the podcast very quickly, a lot of people are probably listening to us having come from the Lauren Lapkus podcast we did, where she is, of course, the host, but the guest is the host and the host is the guest. Mm-hmm. We wanted to, because that is such a popular format, play this podcast from our guest who we're hosting, where he's hosting another podcast and we are his first guest. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be a long-standing format for us, but that will be what's played. And then we'll pop back out of that podcast that he hosted where we were the guests, and we will be hosting our own podcast, talking to our guests
about
that
the podcast
hosting job
that
yes.
we hosted.
Which is great because it's essentially like a little notes session. So people yes. are going to get to hear how, you know, we're showing how the sausage is made mm-hmm. here.
They love the story and they love feeling like they're in the room with mm-hmm. us, and that potentially they close your eyes, we're their friends.
Right.
Sam, do you have all the clips queued up, ready to go? Okay. If you would just set it in motion, please. Is it going to be like this every time?
At what point did you want the song in?
When I asked for it.
From the beginning of it?
From the end of my sentence asking for the song.
Love to eat turkey.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Turkey. I'm your host, Seth Morris. I'm very excited about the launch of this show. It's the launch of a couple things, actually. Let me get right to my guests. We have Sean and Hayes from Hollywood Handbook, and they are not only my first guests, but they're also sort of my bosses, right?
You know, we're co-workers.
Well,
yeah,
sure.
You know,
and today, you know, for now, like it's all you, like yeah. your show.
You're running it, and I just say it's called Talking Turkey.
It is
not
called
Let's
Talking
Talk Turkey.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
you're right.
And talking, if you just put a little zazz on that,
zazz. Okay, mm-hmm.
folksy. You know,
so these guys have launched a shingle on Earwolf. Now, is it officially an Earwolf shingle, or is it a Wolf Pop shingle?
It is a Wolf Pop. Subsidiary,
okay,
partnered with the Earwolf Network,
right,
which is itself on iTunes.
Okay, but anyway, this is a podcast about Thanksgiving, all things Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You guys crunch the numbers and convince me that this is a better idea than mine. So I'm excited to dive right into it today. I thought we'd just get things started, and I think a lot of people can relate to this. Why? Once a year, do we have stuffing and cranberry sauce?
Oh, thank you,
you
Seth.
You can eat all year in different mm-hmm. forms, but even yams sometimes.
Oh, yes. Seth, thank you. I got to say this. Everyone loves Thanksgiving dinner and the foods, but why wait all year to eat it? And can't we have the dinner on a day that's not Thanksgiving?
Absolutely.
They sell it at the store all year round.
Yes.
And so what I'm asking is, what do they do at the store when they only sell what time of year they have it? What do they do at the store when they have it in July they have all those cranberries? No one wants to eat the cranberries, but why?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know why?
And sorry, I just want to step out and comment on that thing. What we're sort of hoping is that, as you know, that will become, that conversation will be
right.
something that everyone is kind of having after.
Right.
Yes. Ideally, every episode will open with you saying that people like the food, and then your guest or guests, as it were, also saying they like the food, but having some questions.
I should have some questions?
No. They had, I had a question of, why do we have to wait? And then Hayes had a great question of what they do in the store.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Should we explain that we're not in my podcast anymore?
Oh, we're sorry. Yes. Yeah, yes, that tone that you
people.
Heard,
yes.
The little tone sound was us ending the clip, and the clip will always end with that sound.
This is Hollywood Handbook.
This is Hollywood Handbook.
And if you listen close, you can tell on my podcast it's a different tone because we shoot it in Redondo by the airport.
Yes.
It's
mm-hmm.
a whole different.
And it is filmed. I don't know what we're going to do with those videos.
And I sound a little weird in that other one. I'm just
you don't sound like yourself.
No. I had a lot of shampoo in my hair that I had not washed out the shampoo.
Yeah.
Well,
it was
which
dry
nobody
shampoo.
Mentioned.
Yeah.
I thought that was so odd. That
you introduced me to dry shampoo. Yeah, I think that's...
It's so great for camping.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks, you know, a little unusual.
The amount that you use, I think, is incorrect. I think that as a product, it's fine,
yeah.
but I think that you are going to want a bottle to last you maybe a whole month, and your bottles, the way you use it, last you I mean, they're one use, they're one time usage because you just pour it out.
I didn't know when to stop, and so when it hurts is when
you carry bottles of dry shampoo the way other people carry water in their backpacks. Like you've always got
in a Nalgene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really spray out; it just kind of slowly pours right. because the mouth is so big. Anyway, let's go back to the clip.
Okay. And my aunt put, there's like some orange in the cranberry, and it's just that right amount of tart and sweet.
Mm.
Now, that is something that I don't know. I can't force my aunt to make cranberry sauce all year long. You know, I wish I could. But how do you guys do your green beans?
Well, this is kind of a sensitive subject around my house because I like sliced almonds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my dad is scared of them.
Hmm.
And so what has to happen is there has to be a secret set of green beans for me hidden somewhere in the house. And then I will at one point excuse myself or have an animal create a distraction outside. And then I will sneak around and scoop some of those green beans into my mouth so that I feel like I've had my Thanksgiving right. dinner. But if my dad does catch me, it is a real problem.
Now,
for
is that
the whole
a cultural
family.
Thing, or did something happen specifically to your dad? Like, I know different families with different ethnic backgrounds.
If you can get that out of him, if you can get that story, I would love that.
He really shuts off.
Yeah.
When you start getting into the sliced almonds thing, and he kind of looks out the window, and you can see
he becomes very distant. Yes.
Okay.
And and when he did the one year where he did see me eating them, he did then. I mean, he tried to burn the house
Dude,
down.
Dude, I keep saying it, but you and your dad need to sit down and watch The Judge. That's you guys are going to get so much out of that. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I am telling you that your relationship's going to be better for doing it.
The conversations that I know would result from seeing that film, and if you guys haven't seen it, Dobkin is on top of his game once again. Duvall, Downey Jr., the whole team, what a cast. Mm-hmm. D'Onofrio, I could keep going. Yeah. Vera, Farmiga. But anyway, the conversations I know would result, yes, they'd be productive,
mm-hmm.
but am I ready for them?
Well, yeah. That's I don't know if we're ever ready for that kind of work.
Mm.
And let's be honest, that kind of stuff comes up at Thanksgiving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hotbed of emotional stuff because you're with your family of origin and you are back at the place that made you you, and for mm-hmm. for better or for worse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I always call Thanksgiving haunted because it's like everybody's ghosts, all these psychological ghosts, things from your past and their past are coming together.
No.
And so you noticed that Seth did start talking about ghosts there, and that's like a first episode thing.
Yeah,
that's the kind of kinks that we ironed out in the first one.
Where, well, yeah,
like,
he laid into me pretty good for bringing. And I'm, you know, I didn't see it at the time, but I get it now that that's not a. You don't go off on that tangent.
Well, Thanksgiving is kind of a time to forget about yeah. Halloween, isn't it?
In fact, I think it might be interesting if people could hear what when he went off on me. You know, I think that could be a useful.
Do we have that in the raw? In the raw, Sam? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry.
You're scaring people so bad they're pissing their panties. Talking about goats.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a family time.
Let go of my shirt, man. I'm sorry.
Shirt. Everything you have is mine.
Okay.
Seth. I gave you this podcast.
Can I have a turn, Seth? You asked Sean about the green beans.
Yeah.
And you didn't ask me about what I do with the green beans. And so when you have two guests on the show, like a lot of times you'll ask one something and then the other one will kind of like, you know, prepare his answer and like kind of get really excited about it.
I just felt like
unless somebody fucks up and starts talking about it. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. Are you fucking crazy?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I had that theory about the emotional aspect of it. I wasn't even talking
Haunted.
About real ghosts.
Like 3 weeks after Halloween, it's like when you finally can put that behind you.
No, you're
when
right.
they finally mm-hmm. take the decorations. It's
okay.
Fine. It's talk to him. You're okay, sweetie. Talk to him.
That was hard to hear. You know, that was hard for me to hear, but I sort of feel like it proves, I was like, listening to that just now, I was back in that moment. I can feel my heart rate is increasing, I'm like, my dander's up. I'm.
It was almost like being scared by a ghost, wasn't it?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And how did it, was that good when that happened?
No.
We don't like that feeling, huh?
Mm-hmm. No.
And that's the only reason, and I hate to get
no,
upset,
man, it is
like
not
that.
Your fault. Do not, not apologize.
No, I wasn't going to. I was just saying I hate having to do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's the right thing to do. I just hate when it.
And I don't want to do. I don't want to confuse things. But now that we're on Hollywood Handbook, can we talk about your views on green beans now, or do we miss that? Has that ship sailed?
God, I'm trying to remember what it was. What I was gonna do. It was so funny. Oh man, it was about.
Oh, you told me right after. Oh.
Yes, because I was so excited about it.
Yeah.
When you were really asking Sean about the green beans and he was doing something good, and I was like, oh, I have something really good for that.
Was it something?
Was it about the Jolly Green Giant?
What are you doing? These guys are trying to help you.
Oh. Was it something with that? Oh, man.
That would be funny if it was. Remember, was it Sprout? Sprout was a little guy?
Okay. He's got a buddy.
Yes, he had his little buddy.
Who is that?
And who did he fuck to make that thing?
Yeah.
Was it his friend or his son or his friend's son?
Okay, it's his friend's son.
Yeah,
he's
so
like
he's
showing,
like,
the ropes, showing the ropes.
I bet you the Jolly Green Giant is sleeping with Sprout's mom, and they say, oh, this is your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she probably lives in a trailer on the outside of town. It's like, oh, your uncle's here.
Yes.
You know?
And see, this would have been great for
the Yes, Hayes might have gotten us there.
For
although
the
I don't think it was. I think it was that you make a Rasta wig out of the green beans, and that was sort of your thing.
That was it.
Yes.
Yes.
And I remember, and you did a pretty funny Jamaican green bean mom.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jamaican green bean mon was kind of the thing. But seeing it on Hollywood Handbook, you could see how it doesn't have the same.
Yeah, this is
it's Jamaican Thanksgiving mon. You were doing that. Yeah.
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 Yeah. What else did you say?
That is an awesome Jamaican accent, by the way.
Thank you.
Hey. Thank you.
It's mine. So
yeah, I'm doing Hayes.
He's doing an impression of my
German. Oh, okay.
So thank you. I appreciate that. Imagine if you'd heard the real thing. Anyway, this is what we did instead.
I don't know how to say it again. I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry.
Well, you should find a new way to say it, because that obviously didn't work.
Okay, can you guys just get off of me? Like, my chest hurts because we're both sitting on my chest.
If I let you up, how do I know you're not going to do it again?
Because you've made it clear to me that that's not cool. Please.
All right, get up. Clean your shit up.
This is a network launch.
Wipe yourself off.
This is the launch of a podcast network. We're talking about
it's a big fucking opportunity.
Ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like Thanksgiving stories, asking about childhood stuff. The kids' table. Isn't the kids' table?
Oh, remember, grown-up table, kids' table? Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys a little bit about the kids' table. Do you remember that? You know, like, I don't know if they still do this, but if there's enough kids in the family, they'll put them at a small, like a fold-out card table, and that's a whole other world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got cousins, you got all sorts of...
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any fun cousin stories or...
Well, we used to, in my family... There would be the adults' table, and what they would do at the kids' table is they would dress us up. Two of us would be the bride and groom, and so my cousin would be dressed up as like a bride, sometimes I would be the groom, and it would be set up like a wedding table, and they'd have us give a toast and like kind of do a little whole wedding ceremony.
Wow.
At Thanksgiving. Yes.
That's incredible. I've never heard of that kind of, what does that ritual come out of?
Kids' wedding. I think it was because my grandmother had a wedding experience that did not, her husband passed during the wedding. And so I think the experience of watching mm-hmm. little kids go through a wedding helps replace that memory for her of her husband dying while they were getting married.
Wow.
Well, I see. Now, this is a great thing about this podcast. I never knew about this part of your family history. We didn't do anything weird like that. We just dressed up like rebel soldiers, you know, just because it's about early American times. And we, you know, reenact sort of an idealized version of the War of Northern Aggression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that almost seems like a whole Poltergeist inspired
God so, damn it, Seth!
I'm so sorry. I'm so fuck.
Are you?
That is a stupid
kind of ghost, Seth.
But doesn't that seem like a thing that the maybe the spirit of your grandfather?
It feels like you want me to hit you.
I don't.
Is that what this is?
No.
Am I playing right into your hand?
No.
I mean, are you some kind of sick fuck? This is gets you off?
No, man. This does not get me off. Listen, give me another chance. Let's just talk about yams. Can we talk about yams?
If I can trust you to talk about yams, yeah. Well, I think they're too sweet.
What do you want? Yeah, what is there to talk about?
It's well, yams. That's one thing. How many marshmallows is too many marshmallows?
Oh, that is a good question, actually.
Actually, yeah, that's great. I mean, just talking about the different numbers. I mean, ratio-wise?
Yeah.
Melody yam?
Mm-hmm. Minis or jumbos?
Mm.
Minis.
Mm-hmm. Minis.
Oh, I don't know anybody that uses jumbos in their yams, do you?
Mm. Not anymore.
That seems kind of, I don't know, kind of white trashy to me.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The, you remember that old marshmallow bag with the, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man on it.
Oh, yes. Like from Ghostbusters 2? Oh.
It's from Ghostbusters 1!
They made it, he made
Seth,
it.
Seth, you're supposed to be. You're supposed
you
to be.
Are you serious? Ghost, the guy, I thought the, oh no, you're right.
It's
the Statue
from
of Liberty came
one.
Alive in 2. You're right.
Now that movie's fine to talk about because they're actually busting ghosts in that, which is what I wish someone would do.
Although this female version?
Mm.
They're barking up the wrong tree.
That's more for we should talk about on the other that on the other show. That's
okay.
More of a Hollywood conversation.
Okay, well let's
so that's why I think it's a terrible idea. You know, because it's like you get it. I made all my points.
Well, you did want to give your dream cast.
My Dreamcast of Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your Sega Dreamcast.
We do a segment called Sega Dreamcast where we talk about.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're remaking Ghostbusters today. Yep.
Martin Lawrence. Cat Williams. Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
You got Lonnie Love as
yes.
the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Sigourney Weaver part. Taraji P. Henson. And then for the guy, the role that Ernie Hudson played in the original, you have what is his name?
DJ Qualls.
Exactly. That, I think, would be funny because
yes.
Hollywood has a long tradition, let's be honest, of how African Americans respond to ghosts.
The supernatural in general.
It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny because they wouldn't stay in the house.
No.
White people, they're like, oh no, there's a ghost here. I guess we've got to try to make friends with it. Black people be like, I'm getting out of this house right now.
Yeah. They don't go through the same.
So like, to me, that's a more interesting starting point.
Yeah. Yes. A brother is not necessarily going to endure as much.
They're not going to take that shit from a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, this is enough for me. I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
Perhaps feats don't fail me now or something.
Yeah, and it's something I've noticed is the brothers are less likely to sort of go investigate a scary noise.
Yeah.
Because if you did grow up in the hood, you know that the scary noises you hear are something you want to stay away from.
Right.
Yes.
And you know what the other thing I think is funny about this, and inherently funny, is that DJ Qualls, he's not African American. He's very thin. He's very tall, and he's very sort of he doesn't seem tough. So they're going to make him, you know, go and check out these places.
Yes, all kind of crouching behind him and pushing him forward.
And I bet he'll be hesitant. But one thing is, when you see a guy like that, and everyone he's dealing with is a brother.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they will have sort of an authority over him that will be enjoyable to watch.
I think so.
Yeah. He's not going to have much of a choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, I still think Katie Dippold should write this new script.
But let's go back to the Thanksgiving. I'm glad we did cover this.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. So we're back here at Let's Talk Turkey. And And
it is talking
turkey. We're talking turkey. I'm so sorry. This is the pilot episode. Yeah. let's talk silverware. Do you guys use any fun like antique silverware serving utensils at Thanksgiving, the kind that only come out once a year? Because that was always a big thing in my family. We made a big ceremony out of it. You know, the serving, the ladles and the carving knives had their own boxes. And that was always just, you know, it's like for us, I'm sure it was like in every family. When do we get to open the utensils? It's like Christmas Day. Can I open just one present? You know, the night before Thanksgiving, it's like, oh, can we just please look at the salad tongs?
Look at the one. Either spatula or yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had that exact same experience.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not on board with all this bamboo utensils, because that is just, I get the environment thing. I get it. But those are meant to fade away and to not leave an impact.
It's very difficult to eat something with a stalk of bamboo. And I care about the environment as much as anyone else.
More, I would say.
Really, all you can do is, I mean, like you can use it as a huge straw, I guess, for pretty much any drink. But then it's so big, the liquid is like shooting into your mouth. And to swallow it, you have to take your lips off the bamboo. It just, like...
There's just no history there. There's no, you know... We you know, there's a story for each of our utensils in our family, you know, different, and it really tells a story of America, you know. One of the utensils was forged from an old cannon from the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
You know, one of the carving knife, this is an old electric carving knife. It's from the set of Mad Men. It's been in my family for years, yeah.
Yeah. Who in your family was involved?
Well, my great-grandfather is Matthew Weiner's assistant.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What a great position. He must be learning so much. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Weiner, the thing about Weiner is he pays so much attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Everything on that set has, you know... has been touched by him physically or emotionally. He makes sure that everything is to that period.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why he gets his name on every script.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because he was like, well, I chose furniture.
He was like, fabric. Hey, remember I yelled at you about that chair from that last episode? Put my name on this script. This is,
We carve our turkey with one of the scalpels from the Mob Doctor.
Oh.
And so, you know, similarly, it is like an old Hollywood thing where, yes, it's been in our family for a long time. Yes, it's a tradition. Yeah. But it also does relate to entertainment and my life currently. And so it's sort of a nice melding of past and present.
All of our placemats in my family are from operating scrubs from that one season of Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The corn we eat is from the actual Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The corn weed?
The corn we eat.
Oh, corn you eat. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is another, you know, we talked about it at the
time. Talked about it
took some explaining, but now I did hear corn we eat. Sorry, I just went on for so long.
And it's also like, what else am I going to be saying? You know, like the corn that we eat.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Seth, but I think that everyone knows that weed is funny, just basically referencing smoking pot.
And I still do think, you deny this, but I still do think that's kind of what you were trying to do.
I think you were trying to backdoor in some of the humor that is like, literally just talking about being stoned for a lot of people is comedy. I mean, that, you know.
I had some pot observations that I was trying to shoehorn in, but it didn't.
Okay.
This might be a good place for them. Is like, well, you know, how is it different to be stoned?
I honestly, if I don't, hopefully I'm not overstepping, but I think that's for the other podcast, honestly.
Seth, I really don't think that's for this podcast. I mean, honestly, like,
munchies around your mom?
This is a family show. It's about families. It's for families.
Hey, man, you know, is that turkey smoked, man?
And see, what ended up happening after that, Seth, is we got the red E next to the name of the podcast. Okay? Right. So now that red E is on there, and no kids can listen to it.
See, I didn't realize that, because I went off of Sean's Jamaican voice, and
Hayes' Jamaican voice.
Oh, sorry. The dynamite voice. I do see, you know, this is why I'm learning so much from you guys. This is really great.
I know.
And for those of you people out there, you know, hey, this is it. This is how you get your grind on. You keep your ears open, you keep your mouth shut, and you try to learn.
Hey man, these cranberries is cashed.
I should have stopped after the first. You know, you guys made it clear that I wasn't. That wasn't cool.
I mean, I came around to it ultimately in the moment, but just in terms of the podcast as a whole.
Yeah.
I don't think it was good. I'm getting some distance from it. I don't think it was good.
But
for
you
that
got
one.
Into it. You got into
What's
it.
What's funny for us is not necessary. I mean, we got a call from iTunes. You know?
Did?
Yes, we did. Because they call us, Seth. When you do stuff like that, it's us that has to deal with iTunes.
Yeah.
You know?
Ugh. I'm sorry.
Red E gets bigger and bigger the more you do that stuff.
You know what it is? When you have a joke and you're sitting up the night before like, what's going to be funny? What's going to be funny? How am I going to do this? And you think it and it comes to you and you think, oh, this...
man.
I'm smoking turnips under my bobsled, man.
And I am sorry that I got so involved in it, Hayes, and I know you were trying to get us back on track in that moment.
And also you took his voice.
Yes.
I have been telling Sean in the past, I don't blame you because I've been telling you to let the podcast come to you more often.
Yes, I do need to do that.
And so that's assuming that we have a host who is capable of leading a podcast that right. doesn't get us in trouble with the biggest podcast provider that there is at the launch of our big network.
But, yeah. But. You know, a good learning experience all around, and I think we wound up coming out with a killer pilot that needs some editing. I mean, mm-hmm. Once all the notes are done, it's only going to be a couple minutes.
You got to be ready to make, if I may give a little Hollywood insider tip here, you got to be willing to fail, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
Yes. Einstein,
the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of these people. Quentin Tarantino. He's nuts.
Bill Gates.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. For
sure.
I mean,
these are all people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's, you got to keep your mind open.
None of them are necessarily Hollywood people, but it does.
Right.
But it's all, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't consider Quentin Tarantino a Hollywood person.
Oh.
We can have that conversation or
right,
not. But.
Right,
The original Hollywood outsider.
Yeah.
He's an industry bad boy to the bone.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he, by the way, he'd be a great one for the all African-American Ghostbusters cast.
Well, I like when, because he can do a voice.
He's basically a brother.
Yeah.
Well, he's an honorary brother.
He can use the word as far as I'm concerned. He's allowed to use the word.
He can use any version of the word that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do I have a sign that said dead brothers over my garage?
Mm-hmm.
No. Then why are you bringing dead brothers? I can't say the word, but you know, the way he does it.
The way he does it, and he does it quite a bit. Yeah.
It's better than when they do it, I think.
Yes.
And I love when they do it.
I love when they do it, but I did watch and it was a Directors Guild Q&A with Tarantino, and he had this story from the set of Django of sort of upgrading an extra to a principal. And when he did that guy's half of the conversation, I was like, where did Quentin go? Because he was becoming a brother.
Yeah.
Sam, is that pizza sauce coming back up on you? So for anyone who didn't hear that, and you probably did, a noise came out of Sam's body just now.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a marsh or a bog when a bullfrog is mating.
I can't wait for the next Thanksgiving podcast because I'm going to talk about those body sounds. You know, next week I want to talk about the body sounds. You know, because you know what, like when you're hungry and you're like can't wait, and then also when the food is digesting.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, and maybe something about how it makes you sleepy to eat turkey.
Yes. And see, that I think is maybe for the next one. I mean, yours could be good for like once we're farther down the road and everyone's kind of comfortable with it. But
yeah, you don't want to run out of road. You don't want to run out of road.
Sleepy when you eat. Let's do sleepy when you eat.
We'll do sleepy next week and then we'll do the body sounds. And
you guys think it's a good idea for you guys to be the guests again next week? Because I think that could get...
Do you want to listen? I mean, first of all, we didn't get to talk about being sleepy when we eat, and that's kind of our idea. We could agree.
Yeah. Okay.
We have a lot of material for that. And so to just, the idea
most of what I prepared, yeah,
right. Just like putting it in a drawer or something. Why not put it on the show?
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. And again,
Sam, that came from inside you.
Yes, it did. What happened?
Are you still paying for all your growling. Food with your Shell Station credit card?
It's all I have.
Hot Pockets and Pringles.
This is a sound show. You are the sound engineer. The idea that you would drink something that is guaranteed to make your body produce a weird sound right before the show. I mean, it just seems like it seems intentional to me. I can't get around.
I don't know if you're drinking that or eating it. Like, it's so thick, it's so viscous that I don't know if you're...
You have to lip it into your mouth. Like, it sludges toward your lip when you tip the glass, and then you have to use your upper lip to kind of scoop it in.
You couldn't use a straw. Like, it should be a spoon.
Yes. It looks like eating to me, but it's coming from a glass.
Mm.
It's just V8.
Sam, we don't want to hear about your motorcycle engines right now. The guy's always talking motorcycles.
No, it's a popular tomato drink.
Okay, see you later, Sam.
Tomatoes is food, Sam.
And Sam, play the turkey theme song again.
To eat turkey.
Thank you.
So check out Talking Turkey on this. We'll give you the chance to do your show.
Check out Talking Turkey on Wolf Cool. Now, can they actually get that on Earwolf, or is it a separate? It's still not clear to me the platform.
Okay, the infrastructure mm-hmm. is still getting put into place. Coding.
Yeah.
It's earwolf.com/wolfpop/podcasts.
.diamonds.limos.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that'll get you to a direct snail mail address. To which you'll get a zip drive of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Each person, right now we have to do it individually.
Yes, and
because of some things that were...
Sorry, thumb drive. We'll actually mail you a thumb drive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a zip drive.
And
yeah.
It's a funny one. It looks like a banana. Mm-hmm. So, is there anything else you want to plug while you're here?
Let's see. Not really. You know, I also have my Bob Duca podcast that I do on... Is it okay to talk about Earwolf stuff on?
Really, yeah, I mean,
okay, hear about okay. Then no. I'm gonna be polishing the silverware for next Thanksgiving.
This is good.
Yes,
yeah, you are the Thanksgiving
it's
guy.
It's confusing for them to hear you talk about a more popular.
You talk about Thanksgiving. I'm glad to see that.
Okay, no, you're right. Anyway, I'll be cleaning out. I'll be. Polishing silver ladles and serving utensils at Kings Road Cafe on Monday, probably at around 3.
Perfect.
And I'll probably get a veggie scramble omelet, even though it's 3. I probably am going to sleep in on Monday and take the dog out. And, yeah, I like to have a late breakfast.
Yes,
so.
Points, yes.
Yeah.
Rate us on iTunes. Like us on the forums.
Like us on Facebook. Talk to us on the forums. Leave reviews. Tell your friends.
The pro version was purchased by Chefsky this week.
Okay.
I guess one last bonus clip from Talkin' Turkey that mentions Chefsky. We slipped a little something into the podcast for you. Thank you for buying the pro version.
Look over there, man. It's the ghost of Chevsky.
Oh, Seth! Goodbye!
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf's dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.